Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Monday, April 1st. On today's show, Japanese banks show less reluctance to finance hostile takeovers, and FAPMISR offers mortgage finance with an annual interest rate of up to 8%. Plus, find out why PNB Housing Finance shares climbed 14% today. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with an interesting shift in Japan's banking sector. Japanese banks are showing a growing willingness to finance hostile acquisitions, a move that comes in the wake of new government takeover guidelines. Akihiro Fukutome, the head of the Japanese Bankers Association, suggests that this change is bringing Japan closer to Western-style dealmaking. Here to discuss this further is our correspondent, Celeste. Can you tell us more about this shift?
Certainly, David. Historically, Japanese banks have been hesitant to finance hostile acquisitions due to concerns about reputational risks. However, the introduction of new takeover guidelines by the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry last year has helped to lower these psychological barriers. These guidelines aim to crack down on excessive defense tactics and remove the stigma around unsolicited bids, thereby encouraging corporate takeovers.
So how have these new guidelines impacted the frequency of hostile bids in Japan?
While hostile bids were once shunned in Japan due to their perceived disruption to the country's collaborative ethos, they are becoming increasingly common. Companies such as electric motors manufacturer Nidec and life insurer Dai-ichi Life Holdings have already launched hostile takeover bids following the introduction of these guidelines. In fact, there have been 3 hostile takeover proposals in Japan over the last 12 months.
And how are banks responding to this change in the business environment?
Banks are becoming more open to considering unsolicited proposals. Fukutome, who also heads the core banking arm of Sumitomo Mitsui Financial Group, stated that banks should consider these proposals if they would benefit the target company and improve its long-term value. Japanese investment bank Daiwa Securities Group has also expressed its openness to advising a hostile acquirer if the deal would benefit the target company or its industry.
It seems like a significant shift in the Japanese business landscape. What might this mean for the future of M&A activity in Japan?
The change in attitude towards hostile takeovers could lead to an increase in M&A activity in Japan, bringing it closer to Western-style dealmaking. This shift could also lead to more competitive business practices and potentially drive long-term value for companies.
Thanks for that update, Celeste. Speaking of financial developments to watch, let's turn our attention to Egypt, where First Abu Dhabi Bank MISR, one of the country's largest banks, has recently implemented a new initiative introduced by the Central Bank of Egypt, focusing on mortgage finance. This initiative aims to make property ownership more accessible for middle-income individuals. Here to discuss this further is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about this initiative and its implications?
Certainly, David. The initiative is designed to boost demand for real estate financing services by providing mortgage finance with an annual interest rate of up to 8%, which decreases over time. This is specifically tailored to meet the needs of a particular customer segment, namely middle-income individuals.
And how does this fit into FAPMISR's overall strategy?
FAPMISR plans to introduce real estate financing within the first year, catering to the diverse customer landscape in the Egyptian market. This aligns with their global strategy of broadening their market reach by catering to various customer segments. In the words of Mohamed Abbas Fayed, the CEO and Managing Director of FAPMISR, they take pride in participating in this mortgage finance initiative.
What additional services is FAPMISR offering to enhance the client experience?
In addition to the mortgage finance, FAPMISR is committed to providing an exceptional client experience by offering additional advisory services. They also ensure simplified procedures and documentation for customers, which should contribute to economic growth and stimulate activity in the real estate market.
It sounds like this initiative could have a significant impact on the real estate market in Egypt. What are the potential long-term effects?
Indeed, by making property ownership more accessible for middle-income individuals. This initiative could lead to an increase in demand for real estate, which in turn could stimulate the economy. Additionally, by simplifying the process and providing advisory services, FAPMESR is making it easier for individuals to navigate the often complex world of real estate financing.
Thanks for that update, Michael. Now, shifting gears to the stock market, PNB Housing Finance shares saw a significant rise of over 14% in Monday's trade. This comes after rating agency ICRA upgraded the housing finance company's non-convertible debentures rating to ICRA AA+ from ICRA AA, maintaining a stable outlook. To delve deeper into this development, we have Abby, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you explain the factors that led to this upgrade?
Certainly, David. ICRA's upgrade is based on the sustained improvement in PNB Housing Finance Limited's credit profile. This improvement is driven by better asset quality metrics and a strengthened capitalization profile. The company has an established track record in the mortgage finance industry, with assets under management of 68,549 crore and a loan book of 62,337 crore as of December 31, 2023. The reported gross non-performing assets declined to 1.7% as of December 31, 2023, down from 3.8% as of March 31, 2023.
What about the company's managed gearing? How has that changed over time?
PNB Housing's managed gearing declined to 3.9 times in December 2023 from 5.6 times in March 2023. This was driven by the REIT's 2,494 crore fresh equity capital raised in 9MFY 2024. ICRA believes that PNB HFL is well capitalized to support its growth plans in the near to medium term.
ICRA also revised its rating approach for PNB HFL. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, ICRA has applied the implicit parent or group support approach for arriving at the rating for PNB HFL. This change factors in Punjab National Bank's intention to remain the sole promoter of PNB HFL and extend financial and other forms of support, when required, within the regulatory guidance framework. PNB is expected to hold a stake of more than 26% in the HFC's equity. The shared brand name also benefits PNB Housing, helping it leverage its franchise and raise funds, which supports its financial flexibility.
Despite this positive news, the PNB Housing stock is still down 10% year to date. What might this mean for investors?
While the stock did see a significant rise following the upgrade, it's important to note that it is still down year to date. This could be due to a variety of factors, including broader market conditions and specific challenges faced by the company. However, the upgrade by ICRA and the company's improved credit profile could make it an attractive option for investors looking at the long-term potential.
That was Simply Finance reporter Abby, shedding light on the recent developments at PNB Housing Finance. Thank you, Abby. Now let's shift our focus to the finance industry's role in combating climate change, which might not be immediately apparent. The NUS Sustainable and Green Finance Institute's Sustainability Summit 2024 recently highlighted the costs and opportunities of commitment to net zero. Here to delve deeper into this is our correspondent, Bella. Could you tell us more about the summit and its key takeaways?
Certainly, David. The summit brought together around 200 representatives from the global sustainable finance community. The attendees included academics, industry leaders, policymakers, regulators, financial institutions, and legal experts. They gathered to discuss strategies and challenges in achieving net zero targets by 2050. SG Fin's Managing Director, Professor Sumit Agarwal, emphasized the need for the finance industry to help prevent irreversible climate damage by reconfiguring economic and financial systems.
What does this reconfiguration entail?
Professor Agarwal argued that the traditional value principles, which have delivered superior financial returns and profit maximization, have proven inadequate at fostering economic development without harming our environment and ecosystems. He called for a pivot in our financial systems to prioritize environmentally sustainable economic growth.
What are the challenges that companies face in making this transition?
The transition to clean energy is complex. Some companies will have to wind down if they cannot successfully pivot and transform. Those making the transition will have to balance stakeholder demands for a faster transition with the economic requirement for a smooth and managed phase out. Additionally, sustainability-linked transition projects are often undermined by a lack of trust in the data behind them due to inconsistent standards for monitoring, reporting, and evaluating such initiatives.
What about the role of market failures in the energy transition?
Keynote speaker Professor Michael Greenstone identified market failures as obstacles to the global energy challenge. He pointed out that energy is currently priced at the cost of production without considering the cost to human life and the environment. To phase out fossil fuels, energy markets will need to incorporate the social cost of each type of energy into their prices. This would make natural gas and coal much more expensive, as their prices would include the higher mortality rates and decreased quality of life caused by the air pollution they generate.
What are the other market failures that Professor Greenstone identified?
Professor Greenstone also highlighted the market failure of innovation, which includes technical and policy innovation. He argued that wealthier countries must address this, as their discoveries will be crucial to managing emissions growth in developing countries. Lastly, he pointed out the market failure of information, stating that addressing information gaps will aid in decision-making and driving behavioral changes.
What steps are being taken to promote greater collaboration in this area?
Before the event, an MOU was signed between U.S. and the University of Chicago. The MOU outlined the intention of the two institutes to jointly develop research collaboration and initiatives in sustainability. They aim to stimulate cross-pollination of ideas on development and sustainability policies and regional green finance frameworks, as well as develop collaborative educational initiatives and curricula on climate, development, and green finance.
That was Simply Finance reporter Bella. Thanks for the insights. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.